God bless you, and welcome to Expanding Your Mind with the Word of God. My name is Samuel Cedillos, and I am the host of this program. I am recording from the city of Los Angeles, California. For those who have never heard of this program is dedicated to the glory and the honor of God, to be able to bring His Word of salvation to those who do not know Him, and also to learn more about Him. In this program, we are going to review things from the Bible, trying to explain it in a simple way to be able to understand more easily. Apart from learning from the Bible, my desire is to be able to listen to testimonies of what God is doing on this day in the life of the believers. Now, this is episode number 9, season number 2, titled The Judgment Before the Great White Throne. The version of the Bible that I use most frequently is a New King James. I ask you to follow me when I give the scriptures, and I ask you to come and learn with me from the Word of God. As always, I want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to do this program for His glory and His honor. I invite you to read the text as I read them, and then go back and reread the scripture that is given, because the wonderful thing about God is that He could reveal to you through His Holy Spirit something even deeper than the text and what I mentioned. In all truth, I barely covered the large details, but there are so many mysteries and hidden treasures in the Word of God. I am only thus on whom God has had mercy on, but I thank God for His great love and great kindness that He has towards me. May this program be for the honor and glory of God. May His name be exalted in every language, nation, and in every place. Now, without delay, let us pray so the Lord guides us and teach us according to His Word. Father of all glory, I come before Your blessed presence in the name of Jesus, first giving You thanks for all that You have done for me. Thank You, Lord, for just giving me another day of Your great mercy and Your great love. Lord, the time has come again to review Your Word. I ask that You take control of this program and that You speak today. May the Word reach where it should reach. In the name of Jesus, I ask You. Amen. Now, without delay, let us begin. In the last episode, we briefly saw that how it will be like in the millennium of Jesus Christ. And speaking of which, I need to clarify one thing. I said people were going to have babies, but I did not clarify who those people were. The people who will be able to have babies in those days will be those who are still in the world in the second coming of Christ. In other words, those who did not die in the great tribulation and still remain alive. But why do I say this? Because in the book of Matthew, when they were asking Jesus about the resurrection, they were asking him about a woman and past husbands that she had and who her husband will be in the resurrection. And he replies by saying, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven." In other words, those who were resurrected and those who were transformed would no longer have a body like the body that me and you have today. We will have a glorified body like the body that Jesus Christ has. For this reason, we will no longer have the desires of the flesh, because we will be living in spirit in our glorified body. It'll be like we'll be back to the times when Adam and Eve were in the garden before they ate of the forbidden fruit. But the people who are already here on earth and survive are going to be the ones that are going to have the babies. And this includes not only the Jews who will return to Israel, but also the Gentiles who will remain in the remaining parts of the world, because they will not have a glorified body like we will have. Now, the millennium has ended. Satan is thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, and the judgment before the great white thrones begins. Now, let's go to Revelation 20:11, and it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them." The white throne that we see here is where the pure essence of God is. I say this because God is spirit. The Word of God tells us in the book of Ezekiel 8 that it describes him as half fire and half shining light. Also, in Isaiah 6, it tells us that day and night, there are seraphim who worship him, and with two wings, they cover their face. With another two, they cover their feet, and with the last two wings, they fly. Or to put it more simply, this is the throne where God is sitting. Now, in the second part of the text, it tells us that the earth and the heavens fled for him. In other words, there will be no place in the entire universe where someone will be able to hide from God. Revelation 20, verse 12 to 13 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works." Now, we have to notify certain things about what is happening. First, we see that this judgment is for the dead. That means it's not only for those in hell, but all those who were destroyed when Satan tried to attack the holy city. This is a day of judgment for humanity, but this isn't the day of judgment for those who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, because they will have another type of judgment, but we will review that a little bit later. The second thing we see is that the books were open. Here the Word of God tells us that two books were open, the Book of Works and the Book of Life. In other words, every person who will be there will have to give an account of everything they have done in this life. The thing we have to understand is that on this day, we have to give an account of all the things that we have done, even the secret things. And if we think about it, sometimes there are many things that people do because they think that nobody is watching, but they forget that God is watching everything. Here, all hidden sins will come to light. Many people sometimes complain that God does not do justice. Or sometimes they say that God allowed each certain people who have done evil to get away with evil. But the thing is that they are going to have to give an account, not to man, but to God Almighty. And on that day, when they stand before the great white throne, God will make a just judgment. But not only will he review all the works that people do, but I also believe that on that day, they will give an account of every single careless word they have spoken. Now we see in Matthew 12, verse 35 to 37 tells us, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every careless word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." But why do the words that come out of us have so much weight? Well, in Romans 14:10, it tells us that the Lord judges the hearts. And every single word that comes out of our mouth comes from our heart. Now, why do words have so much weight? Because many can say that they have never done anything wrong, but all their lives they have spoken vain things and been deceitful. Not only that, but the words that come out of our mouth carry a lot of weight and can hurt many people. Do you think God won't say anything about the way we talk or talk about others? Do you think God won't say anything about the people who we mistreat many times with our own words? This is why I like to imagine that not only by the works and the words, but another thing comes to mind. On that day, God will also judge us by our thoughts. Just imagine, if people do so many bad things and already say so many bad things, but they don't have the complete freedom to say and do everything they want to because there are laws and circumstances that prevent them from acting and saying stuff to, well, the way they want to say it, to their heart's content. Now, if they already do so much bad stuff and say so much bad thoughts, how are their thoughts? How full of wickedness and evil are the minds of some people? Now, what else can people be judged on that day? Maybe on that day, people will be judged for every single lie they've told, every false promise they've given. I don't want to focus so much on this, but let's just say that they will be judged in all, in every area of the lives that people have lived. And another thing that, before I forget, is that I imagine that people will be judged by every single word of God that they have heard. I say this because I imagine people would try to justify themselves or say that they did not know the truth when they're before the great white throne. And God, being a just judge, will bring the times that the word has been given to them. Now, what will happen after they review the works and all the other things? Well, after all accounts are given, the name of the person being judged will be looked up in the book of life. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 to 15, it says, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And the sad reality is that many people will not be in that book of life and will be thrown into that lake of fire. And when they are cast into that lake of fire, that is what you call the second death. Now we have to ask another question. What is the second death? For this, we have to understand what the first death is. The first death is when our body dies. This is the body that me and you have, basically our physical body. The second death applies to all who were not part of the first resurrection as stated in Revelation 26. And the second death is the eternal separation from God in the lake of fire, where it says that they will be in that place day and night and will never be able to leave. When I did the episode over hell, I mentioned that hell, people are going through so much torture and so much pains and sufferings. But the thing is that your soul cannot die. Your physical body dies, but your soul cannot die. Your soul will live on forever. Now, it's called the second death because your soul will be in the lake of fire every single day. If it was a physical body, maybe as soon as it went in, it will immediately just burn up and be destroyed. But since it's a spiritual body, your soul will never be able to die, but it still go through all the pain as if it were dying. Now, who will suffer the second death? Those who will suffer the second death are all those who are already in hell and all those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their only Savior. But we have to understand that not only those who do not have Jesus will be judged, but also all of us who have Christ will also go through judgment, which is the tribunal of Christ. Because we have to remember, the Bible, the Word of God tells us that the judgment starts from home, starts from the house. In other words, judgment begins with us, those who know the truth. Meaning that also we will be judged. Now, I cannot tell you if the judgment seat of Christ will happen immediately after the rapture or will happen at the same time as a great white throne judgment. All I know is that is going to happen. Now, what does the Word of God tell us about the judgment seat of Christ? Well, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it tells us, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in a body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So in the same way that the unjust will be judged, we are going to be judged because God is a just God and there's no shadow of variation of him. In other words, God does not change, meaning that the measure by which we are judged is the same for all of humanity. But what is the difference between the righteous and the unrighteousness? Or in other words, the people who are saved and the people who are not saved? Or what's the difference between those who will be before the great white throne or those who will be in front of the judgment seat of Christ? Well, it's simple. And that is those of us who believe in the Lord as our only Savior and try to live a life of holiness for the Lord have something called grace. What is grace? Well, according to the Holman Concise Bible Dictionary, it gives us a definition that says, grace is acceptance and undeserved love of a person and for our house. Which meaning, when it comes to God, grace is the favor that God has with us. Even though we don't deserve it, God has favor for us and for our house. We are saved by grace, not by our own merit, not by what we do, but because it pleases God. And grace is free for anyone who believes in the Lord. Now, why does grace make such a difference? Now, what can we say about entering the kingdom of heaven then? Just to give an example, to enter the kingdom of heaven, there is a measure for you that you must fulfill. And those who do not give the measure would not be able to inherit the kingdom of God. And in all honesty, us as humans in this flesh, even if we do everything possible, we cannot reach that measure alone. But through grace that is given to us through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he did on the cross, we have come to life and become heirs of heaven. Because of that grace, we're able to reach the measure that we need to be able to inherit the kingdom of God. I'll give you another example. Now, let's say there is a scale, and on one side we are standing, and on the other side is the way that God has placed in order for you to be able to enter the throne of God and enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to be able to be at the same weight as God put. Now, certainly that the weight that God had put on the scale will be much heavier than we are, meaning that the scale will be tipped more in God's favor and will be on the top side and God's favor on the bottom side. Now, but what happens next? What happens next is that grace is added to our side. And when grace is added to our side, the scale begins to level itself until it's equal. And because it's equal now, we are able to inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, it basically gives us the weight and the measure that is needed to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. But why is it necessary for us to go to court as well? So that we may be paid according to our works, whether it's good or bad. Maybe you're wondering, what exactly are you talking about? Well, let's give some examples to be able to clarify some things. Now, let's say I'm in church, and I see a brother or sister that's in need, and God touches my heart and to help them, and not so people could see me, but because that's what God wants for me to help them. And let's say I listen to the word of God and listen to his voice inside of my heart, and I do what he tells me. In heaven, I will certainly have my reward. Before the seat of Christ, I will certainly have my reward. Or let's say someone is going through a hard time, and the Lord puts it in my heart to start praying for them. And I do. What will happen? I will certainly have my reward in heaven. Now, this does not apply only to brothers and sisters of the church, because it applies to all of humanity. If someone needs help, I must help them, even if they do not believe in the Lord. And what happens when I help them? First, I glorify God here on earth with my actions. And second, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will also give me a reward. Now, let's say someone needs help, and the Lord tells me to help, but I don't help. Well, now we have a problem, because the Bible says in James 4:17, and to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. Now let's say I don't give support to a brother or sister who is going through a hard time, and instead we are a hindrance to them, or instead we stand in their way to be able to, for them to be able to move on. Certainly, That will have its reward, even if it's a bad reward. Now, let's say I start to think badly of someone and look down on someone and maybe even humiliate them in church. That too will have its rewards. And in front of the tribunal seat of Jesus, I'm going to have to tell him everything. And what will I be able to tell him? I can't tell you what the reward will be for doing the good and evil. But for every action that you and I do, we will have to give an account to God. That much is clear. I imagine that all those who pass through the judgment seat of Christ will be saved because they were resurrected or transformed in the rapture. Meaning that those who pass through the tribunal of Christ, their names were found in the book of life. Now, in all truth, all humanity will have to give an account, whether it's good or bad, or whether it's before the great white throne or the judgment seat of Christ. But what is clear is that no one will be able to hide their sin, and the verdict of the judgment will be for all of eternity, whether good or bad. So I ask, if you do not have Christ, that you accept him as your one and only Savior, so that your name may be written in the book of life, and you may escape such a great punishment that is coming. And I ask believers not to be a hindrance to anyone, but to be in unity and love, so that our names are not erased from the book of life, and we lose such great salvation. We have to remember, we as believers, we will have greater condemnations because we know the truth. Now, what will happen after the great white throne judgment? Well, in the book of Revelation 21, it tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth because the first heaven and the earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. Why is this so significant? Well, we have to look at the world today. It's nothing like it was in the beginning of the creation when God put everything in its place. How much harm have we as humans caused here on earth where we live today? And how long will the heavens and earth pass, and how much stuff will they go through when God is pouring his wrath upon the earth? But at this moment, after judgment is served to all of humanity, it's almost like God pushes a reset button, and everything goes back to how it was before, according to God's will. How much more beautiful will everything be, being as God made it in the beginning? You know, I have heard testimonies from people who have gone to heaven and they saw that everything is just so beautiful. I imagine it will be something like this here on earth, all new, all beautiful, all different, like a land and sky that has never experienced anything bad or corruption. In simpler words, everything will be perfect as God made it to be. It also tells us that there will be no more seas, so there will be no more threat of tsunamis or stuff like that. And maybe everything will return to how it was before the great flood, where the dew used to rise up from the earth and water the plants. How wonderful would it be able to see all of that, able to see the earth completely different according to how God wanted it to be. Now, after seeing all this, the Apostle John says that he saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven and heard a voice saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away." It will be the perfect world where we will no longer suffer. God will be with us forever, and we will be with him. Now, maybe you have another new question now. Perhaps you're wondering what the New Jerusalem will look like. Because right there in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, it tells us that the city will shine with the glory of God. Its radiance was like a most precious stone, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It will have high walls with 12 gates, with the name of each tribe, and with 12 foundations with the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, my math isn't very good, so I'm sorry if I messed up, but I'm going to try to put it into a number that we could understand. Now, the Bible says, the city is laid out in a square, and its length is equal to its width. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 stadia, its length, height, and width are equal. Now, a stadia is like 660 feet. And 100 stadia are like 66,000 feet. And now, what about 12,000 stadia? That's around 1,400 miles, or in other words, 2,200 kilometers. In other words, the New Jerusalem is going to be great. It's going to immense. It's going to be huge, more than we could imagine. Now, what is it made of? Well, the Bible tells us that as well. It says, the material of his wall was jasper, but the city was pure gold, like a clear glass. It looks like a clear glass because it's shining so bright. The foundation of the city walls were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each of the gates was a pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The most surprising thing is that the glory of God will shine from it, and there will be no more need of a light in that place, because God will be the light. Now, the Apostle John also tells us that he saw a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of the street of the city, on either side of the river was the tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were the healing of the nations. And there will be no more curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night there. They will have no need of a lamp or sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And we will be in peace and joy with our Lord for all eternity. And when we are in that place, we will no longer feel pain or anything else. And nothing will ever separate us from our God. And this is where we leave it for today. As always, there is so much to learn from the Word of God, but we review little by little to be able to meditate on what we have learned. The next episode is episode number 10, and it's going to be the last episode of this season, and it will be in the form of a sermon. Now, if you want to contact me, you can send me an email to expandyourmind2022@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook, an account that has the same logo as this program. We are in different places like YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. You can also see other places to listen to the Facebook page called Expanding Your Mind. I also want to remind you that these same episodes are in Spanish in case you want to share it with someone who does not know English very well. The Spanish program is called Abriendo el Entendimiento and can be found in the same directories as this program. It's the same logo, but in Spanish words. In the Word of God, it says that his people were destroyed because they lacked knowledge. It is good to learn so that on the day of trial, we do not fail. As always, it's our duty to study the scriptures, and for that reason, we receive all the good and we discard all the bad in the name of Jesus. Now, let us pray to be able to finish this episode for today. My God, I ask that you have mercy on us. Help us reach our final goal. Help us go with you to live in eternity by your side. Please forgive us for all the ways that we fail you. Lord, I ask that you bless every single person listening today. May this episode be a blessing to them. Lord, I put this program in your hands. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, and to all my friends who are listening, may God bless you greatly. My name is Samuel Cedillos, and you are listening to Expanding Your Mind with the Word of God. And to God, be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.